federal election time and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ.
And it's our job to introduce you to all the candidates in the riding of Bay of Quinte and Hastings, Lenox, Addington, and Tyendinega. And today we are joined in studio by our first Green candidate, Bay of Quinte Green candidate, Erica Charlton. Good morning, Erica.
Good morning, Lauren.
Well, thanks so much for coming in. And this is not your first time.
Nope, not my first rodeo, and not my first rodeo on radio either.
Yeah, so yeah.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Okay, well, listen, before we get to know you, and that's the point, the Greens were in the news yesterday.
They were.
And because of whatever parameters, Greens were pulled out of the federal debates, the French and English debate. Just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
It's really unfortunate. Part of the reason I'm running for the Green Party locally is that we deserve great representation and we deserve great opposition. If all that I can bring to the table is the opportunity to ask good questions and hold representatives accountable, that's what we need on a national level as well. At the time that the debates were announced, we did meet the criteria. Since then, it had fallen off. And I understand where people are coming from, but I just think it's a huge missed opportunity.
I think that, the final candidate list was done a week ago. They could have come up with this decision 5 days ago as opposed to the day of the event.
Right.
It was kind of embarrassing for all sides, right? And then, of course, your Green leaders had to scramble to have a press conference. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just noise in what really is the most important election of our lifetime.
I would say so, too. And our French candidate would have been an amazing person to have on stage.
Yeah. Well, not happening.
It's not happening. No. And there's not much we can do at this point, but next time around, we'll make sure that we're prepared and that we're going to fulfill those requirements and maintain those requirements so this never happens again.
Right. Requirements are set, and this is how you follow it, mm-hmm. and so on and so forth. All right. Before we get into the meat of the matter and everything that everybody is talking about, let's talk about you. Who's Erica Charlton?
Erica Charlton grew up in Prince Edward County. I played a lot of sports in this area. I worked locally. When it was time to go to school, I flew off to Ottawa, a place that you're very familiar with. Yeah. I loved it there. I had an amazing opportunity with a company called Glentel, where I was quickly promoted into a management position that allowed me to lead multiple teams across flagship stores and have a lot of growth opportunities while I went to Carleton University. When it was time to start a family, I moved back, came to the area. I noticed that, you know, things had changed and not necessarily for the better, and it motivated me to be more politically active. Mm-hmm. I found a home in the Green Party because I love that it's a very science-based, fact-based policy-making process and a grassroots initiative. So I knew that joining that party, I'd be able to vote if I was ever elected in a way of integrity, because I'd be able to represent the community properly with our issues.
Right. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think people don't know about the Green Party is they think it's all about the environment, but there's a lot of things that the Green Party discusses that are about economy and economics, mm-hmm. and things like that. And I don't think that ever really gets out because of the name of your party, right?
Absolutely. People put me in a box automatically when I say that.
Oh, no, it's about they can't. You can't build this. You can't do that. Green Party doesn't want anything. They want us to live in the woods.
No, we want to do the best possible progressive action that we can while mitigating the impacts of climate in that process, right? There are ways that we can find effective solutions that are green. And one thing that I think is a huge opportunity that we're missing is the fact that the Green Party wants to get ahead economically of other countries. There's a huge worldwide transition into a green economy. And if you're going to participate in that, you need to get ahead of it fast. Otherwise, you're just going to be playing catch up. And if we keep dumping money into industries that are fading out and will eventually fade out because there's a limited amount of resources that we have. Mm-hmm. This is a finite industry, especially with fossil fuel. The best thing that we could do is make investments now that are going to protect us and keep us more sustainable in the future and give us a cutting edge in the world.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546 is the number to call. Your questions, your comments for Erica Charlton. And listen, better you than me. I don't know how to do this job. They just give me the space every day. But until you call, I will ask the questions. You mentioned, you know, fossil fuels and things like this. One of the things that's going on is the discussion about getting our natural resources to each end of the country and shipping it somewhere else besides our quote-unquote friends to the south. What are the Green Party's thoughts on that? Because I think a lot of Canadians are like, yeah, we got to get this done. Yesterday, Premier Ford announced the disappearance of interprovincial trade barriers. Eastern provinces have agreed as well. Wab Kanew, the premier of Manitoba, has announced, yeah, we got to open this stuff up. Shouldn't we get away from ourselves and open this country up and take let's take some of our natural resources and let the world buy them so we can generate some revenue?
Absolutely. Canada is actually built on a foundation of rural communities taking care of each other. So if we're going to expand that interprovincially as well, so we can break down these trade barriers, we can get our raw resources across the country to be manufactured or processed, we're going to create so many jobs. I mean, before we had all these tiffs with our friends to the south, we had an economy that was intertwined where we shipped our raw resources for cheap. They reprocessed them, they sold them back to us, and that worked. It's not going to work anymore, so we need new solutions. The best thing that I think that the Green is going to bring to the table is that we're going to work on, one, creating a national reserve for our resources so that the prices stay where similar to what they are, and we mitigate the worst of job losses. But beyond that, adding value to every stage of production with these resources will not only allow us, again, to create jobs, but trade in diverse markets across the globe, because we're not only just offering raw resources, we're offering different levels of manufacturing that we can sell to different parts of the world.
One of the things that Donald Trump is talking about is bringing manufacturing back into the United States. And it is an absolutely insane notion that the United States is going to produce T-shirts and sell them for $3.99 at Old Navy, because those are produced in Bangladesh by workers who make very little money, and then they're shipped here and so on and so forth. And a worker in America is going to want $17 or $16 an hour, and the shirt's going to be $50. How do you take that idea and bring it to Canada? So my idea is, and tell me what you think, but my idea is we have to take what we do and do it.
Absolutely.
Right? We're not going to make cheap T-shirts here. We're not going to make cheap electronics here, but we can design them. We can send out our ideas. We can sell all that kind of stuff. And of course, yeah, we have the best wood in the world. We have all those natural resources as well.
So I totally agree with you. The problem with the tariff initiative that's going on right now is that the manufacturing industry isn't just going to appear overnight in the States. And there's going to be a really hard transition period while they're trying to, if the point is to bring manufacturing back into America, no problem. That's a great idea. However, it's going to take 4 to 10 years to build the plants required to support that kind of initiative. So first of all, I just want to say they're trying to destroy us. They're trying to tear us up from the inside out. They're trying to make sure that our economy is unstable. And so that it would be a great opportunity for them to come in and extract our natural resources and grow their economy, because their economy is failing. And we need to understand that. So if we're going to be facing the current issue where businesses might be leaving Canada, and Belleville absolutely is going to be affected by that, we have the Honda plant that's considering closing up shop here. We can't just plug manufacturing back in right away. We need time, right?
Honda Canada, just to say, said no, we're not changing, but there's a possibility of, and automotive companies just all the time moving some of this there and that, but Honda Canada said no, we're not closing.
Okay.
We're not moving. And then Honda, the major mothership in Japan, said, hey, we're trying to, you know, maybe this or that or whoever, but we got word, the premier had a phone call, because that would freak you out, wouldn't it? And so that's where we are now. But you're very right. I mean, they could change their mind any day.
Right. So I know this is a bit more of an extreme alternative, but I would like to introduce the idea of a guaranteed livable income. Canada's facing a lot of economic crisis right now, not only just with the tariffs, but we're also experiencing job losses due to the implementation of AI. And you know that's just going to happen wherever it can, because companies want to be more efficient. And then tertiary to that would be the climate crisis. Over 230,000 Canadians were displaced last year by climate emergencies. Then we know that's going to continue to grow.
Can Canada because we are such a large province, one of the reasons America is so big, it's so big, that's mm-hmm. why they have so many natural disasters. I mean, Luxembourg has less natural, because they're tiny, right? Mm-hmm. So it's obvious. And Canada is the same thing. The difference between America and Canada is that most people in Canada live in a little swath of land mm-hmm. near the American border, where in America, everybody lives everywhere.
Yep.
So they're affected. But of course, you're exactly right that we've seen an increase in forest fires, and it's just terrible. Is there a business model there? Can Canada develop things because we have these disasters to help mitigate these disasters and actually generate revenue for businesses here in Canada?
That's an interesting concept. I've never thought about how we could generate revenue from it, but a solution that we do have right now is it's called the National Defense Corps. It's 120,000 strong reserve within Canada that we are training and transitioning people from maybe industries that are fading out or jobs that have been lost because of change in mm-hmm. technology and stuff, that would help us mobilize a team to deal with mobile disasters that we can send, because we already send people across the border anytime they need fire help or anytime they need flood help. Why don't we have that within Canada? Not only will it create more jobs for us and stimulate our economy, but it would also give us a preparedness for dealing with issues as they come up. And we're not in a position of reactionary solutions. Mm-hmm. We're ahead of the game. So we have a defense for our border, and we do have a defense for Northern Sovereignty. We do have a defense that can move across the country to deal with communities that are being affected by the climate crisis. And when I say climate crisis, I do want to say that it's an increase in frequency of extreme weather events. So that could be a flood. And when you're looking at business opportunities, yes, awesome. That's a great way to approach that, because it's a great way to get everybody involved. But we need to understand that places that have fires and their houses burned down, eventually we're going to have to stop building houses there, because insurance companies are not going to keep paying
right.
to be real building. And that's what we saw in the States with California. Those insurance companies had pulled out 6 months to a year before with their residents, making them understand they were no longer covered for fire damage. And then that fire happened. That could happen here, and it will happen here, because once insurance becomes not profitable anymore, that industry is going to start shifting, right?
I want to take you back to how you started this question with defense, and mm-hmm. you want to be the MP for Bay of Quinte, and part of Bay of Quinte is our largest transport base in this country, Eight Wing Trenton. As you know, there's thousands of employees there, the largest employer in our area. How would you look at dealing with defense, not only, you know, procuring items such as, fighter jets and ships and things like that, but actually, because the military is thousands of people depleted, they need to fill thousands of positions. How would you focus on working with Eight Wing and getting what the military needs and being an advocate for our Air Force and military?
Yeah, so in addition to the National Defense Corps of 120,000 units, we also want to increase our reserves by 20,000. We want to strengthen our Arctic coast and security with more patrols and better equipment. We want to build stronger cyber defense within Canada. And we want to provide our armed forces with the capabilities that they need to deal with today's problems.
Do you think that we are failing our military? And certainly we're failing our commitment to NATO.
We're failing in a lot of ways. It seems that we're not effectively pushing our money into the industries that matter. And when you talk about NATO, we're not meeting just not only our military requirements, we're also not meeting our greenhouse gas reduction emission requirements as well. NATO has a pretty strict target of 45% greenhouse gas reduction by 2030 and net zero by 2050. And we're nowhere near that. So we're going to be starting eventually to have repercussions for our poor choices when it comes to our investments.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546. Our guest in studio is Erica Charlton. She is the Green candidate for Bay of Quinte. It's Meet the Candidates. We'll take a break. When we come back, more questions for Erica. We'd love to hear from you as well. And don't forget, you can also watch this interview on your TV. It'll air tonight and throughout the election period as well.
It's federal election time, and your vote matters. You're listening to Meet the Candidate on The Lorne Brooker Show on 800 CJBQ.
All right. we are happy to have Erica Charlton in studio with us. She's the Bay of Quinte Green candidate. What's the difference between the Greens and the Liberals? Or the NDP?
Well, I mean,
what separates you guys from the NDP? I mean, you're both left-leaning mm-hmm. parties.
Mm-hmm.
And so people out there, this is the problem. We were just talking a second ago about this, that in this particular election, people, the reason that, I mean, if you look at the polls, so here are the polls today. I'll give you the polls.
Thank you.
Just out today, Liberals have 43% compared with the Conservatives, 38. The Liberals are down 1%. NDP 8.7 and the Bloc 5.6 and the Green 2.3. So you guys are up 0.4, which some people must have been pissed off yesterday at the at the pulling out of the debate, I suppose.
Maybe.
But 38% is what Stephen Harper won to become a majority government with, right? Mm-hmm. So this 43% is those people are Greens and NDPers who realize that their party is not going to win
mm-hmm.
and are going behind the Liberals to, you know, try to stop the Conservatives and deal with Donald Trump. That seems to be what's going on.
Okay.
And it's not just me who says it. Other people say it, right?
I mean, I believe that.
You're not the first person. I'm sure you've heard this many times. How do you get people to not do that?
Okay. I'm going to start at the beginning of this.
That's a very good place to start. Julie Andrews said that.
There aren't a lot of differences between the Conservatives and the Liberals. They're actually both backed by the same companies that are encouraging those parties to get legislation that would benefit them. The difference between those two at this point, I think the Conservatives have just had too many transient members from the PPC that have invaded, that have given them an image that isn't necessarily the one that the Conservatives deserve. There are a lot of smart voters that vote Conservative that maybe not necessarily agree with the way the party has come. Liberals, on the other hand, sometimes I refer to them as wolf in sheep's clothing. They do have a lot of progressive legislation, and they seem to care about homelessness, but their policies that they're enacting don't necessarily treat the issues at hand. The NDP, I would say they're working in the moment. They're trying to represent people and businesses as they are right now. We're the Greens. We're looking for a future that's climate friendly in a successful green economy.
When the house is on fire, mm-hmm. and our house might be on fire.
It's the world's on fire. And if you want, actually, I'm going to peg that you can go to the NASA website and look for the world fires. And there's a map that'll display all the active world fires.
So the world
the
is literally on fire.
Literally on fire.
Well,
yes.
Okay. But just figuratively, this country, you know, the president of the United States wants mm-hmm. to eat up Canada. We're international trade world wars are going on. We're topsy-turvy, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that people have is, the question that I have is, when your house is on fire, does anybody care about electric cars? They care about now. Like, mm-hmm. put out the fire. And so is this hurting the Green? Like you said, we're thinking about the future, but I'm not thinking about the future right now. I'm thinking about, oh my goodness, I don't want to be America.
Absolutely. And somebody has to think about the future, though. And that future could include being American. The way that the American politics work with the team mentality that it's us versus you doesn't work in Canada. And that's part of the mission to divide us and take over our country. Because the more division we have, the easier it is to invade somebody, right?
Well, if you're America, all you need to do is drop five helicopters on provincial capitals and you've taken us.
Right. Well, there's the other part of this that I wanted to say is, if your house is on fire, do you not take everybody's hand and run out the door with them?
Of course.
Or do you leave somebody?
Like George Costanza pushing the clown away and the kid and the old person running out the door. No, I get
right?
what you're saying.
And then, and there's right
that's
now
where we
that
are now.
We need to do. We need to turn around and look at this person and say, I don't care that we don't get along and we have our differences. We need to work together to resolve this issue
and
right
I
now.
And I think that's what Polyev is dealing with right now is that he's created this giant chasm of
absolutely
and
it's
Canadians
working
against
him.
Are together right now, but because of that, that is draining mostly from the NDP
mm-hmm.
into the Liberal coffers for votes.
Right. And I knew that if we were going back into Parliament, that the NDP wouldn't be supporting a motion of no confidence with Mark Carney because it would have cost them this election. And it might have cost them a lot of seats in this election because of that as well. People are so done with Pierre's hateful remarks, divisionary policies, that Mark Carney looks like a shining light in comparison to him. I'm not saying he's the solution that we need right now, but what did we have? We had Trudeau. We had, not saying I voted for Trudeau, but we had soft, caring, compassionate Trudeau. We had teary-eyed Trudeau who really gave his heart out to us and everything that he could with all of his problems. And you screamed and you yelled and you made him leave and you gave us Mark Carney instead, the banker, right? So he's going to have solutions and he's going
to... But if your bank account is on fire again, do you not want a banker to...
And he looks like a great option by comparison to Poilievre right now. Because Poilievre has dug himself
a hole. So are you saying Mark Carney is the man of the moment? Because I believe 2 years ago he would never have a chance.
Absolutely.
And maybe 3 years from now he would never have a chance. But somebody's got to deal with this in a calm way.
Right. And the problem with Trudeau, everybody hated the fact that he was a teacher in his past work experience, and they hated that, you know, he didn't have an economic background that would give us advantage. And so the Liberal Party brought somebody in who fulfilled all of those requirements that they were saying Trudeau lacked.
Does the, what seems to be the decimation of the federal NDP party, is that good for the Greens? Is that good for your party?
It's not good. We need strong opposition. We need a strong democracy is built on great opposition and having a difference in opinion to make sure that people are getting the information that they need, right? And if
right.
and if we're in a political environment where people don't want to step up because they're actually afraid, you know, there's a constant threat of violence. No, that's not good for us. We do not want a two-party system, and we don't want a one-party system. What kind of countries have a one-party system?
Well, there's not going to be a one-party
system. But that's what people are asking for. They're asking Liberals to leave. They're asking the NDP to leave. They're asking Greens to leave, right? Why would you want us to leave? Why wouldn't you want us all to work well together in
a
minority government?
I think it's great that we have multiple parties, and the Greens have been taken, with all due respect, nationally, they don't seem to be taken as seriously in this election than maybe they have in the past. And I think one of the reasons is, at the top, there doesn't seem to be any solid leadership there. Like, what's going on?
There's a movement towards...
Like, you need one leader. You can't have five leaders in a party that has... Is there two seats?
Two seats. Yes. Two seats. So those two seats work so hard. We need to work across party boundaries to get work done. I don't mind a minority government. I think that's a great representation of Canada because we don't have majority. What we do have is a majority center-left leaning group, and then we have a minority right-leaning group. So if we have a majority, it's probably not representing us properly, and that's okay, right? But we need our parties to be able to work together in this divisionary blaming each other and not getting work done and saying, well, no, you need to be able to have conversations, just like you and me in our workplace. We may not necessarily align exactly with all our ideas and thoughts with our coworkers, but we know that we can work together to get work done. And our leadership is not doing that right now. And that's what we need, leadership. Mm-hmm. We need people with clear expectations. We saw during the COVID pandemic that the differences in the communication and the rhetoric from our leadership had a direct impact on the success of the initiatives they had to protect us. We had our leader who was saying this is a tragedy that we need to respond to. We had our leader to his health saying that it's not a problem. And because of what he said, millions more people died. A million more people that were infected.
We're seeing a measles outbreak now because of what he said.
Absolutely. That's because people don't trust science anymore. And they don't trust facts. And they think that even though we encourage people to go to school and get all these great degrees and do all this research and peer-edited papers to have actual data, and then we discredit them and say
people will go into the grocery store and buy the fakest, craziest food that doesn't have any real ingredients in it and shove it down their throats, like fruit leather and what, you know, all this kind of craziness.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll eat it and eat it and eat it and eat it. And then they won't get a vaccination that has been proven safe and effective to eradicate one of the world's most contagious viruses for decades and decades.
Exactly.
And that's how screwed up the world is.
Absolutely. And that is a lack of
fruit
consistent
roll-ups,
leadership.
No problem, but I'm not getting this thing in my arm.
And that your perception of our medical and our science areas is not supposed to be up for debate. And we take so many things that shouldn't be political and we make them to political and we debate over them instead of having our leadership give us clear directions that support it so that we can know how to have conversations and deal with exceptions as they come. Because it's okay to have exceptions.
I think with COVID though, it was so hard because it changed every day, right? Mm-hmm. And we asked these major corporations to develop a vaccine. But we were talking about this on the air the other day, and it'll be interesting to get your thoughts, I'm sure. But, you know, there is billions of people who got the COVID vaccine. If billions of people ate a quarter pounder with cheese, if like 2 billion people ate a quarter pounder with cheese, right, which I love, but some people will get really sick from that quarter pounder of cheese for whatever reason, allergy to one of the ingredients or two of the ingredients or whatever, because that's billions of people. Mm-hmm. So clearly, somebody was going to get sick from this vaccine. Most people did it, and it saved billions of lives.
Right.
But we don't understand that. Like, we just can't, you know, that one person. Yeah, maybe people did die from the vaccine.
Yeah, and you know what? I had a conversation the other day where the person gave me a concrete example of how the lockdowns personally affected them and their family. And there were a lot of people that really got hurt by the actions that were taken by our government to protect us, just like vaccines. Things definitely affected people and hurt them. And right now, I think more than anything, we should have an opportunity for a government to say that to us, say, hey, we're sorry that you got hurt. We're sorry that things happened that we didn't mean to happen while we were trying to protect everybody. And you slipped through the cracks and it wasn't your fault and we are sorry for that. And I think that might bring back a little bit of faith in communities to understand that, you know, they're here to try and help us, or they should be here to try and help us, and it wasn't intentionally trying to target anybody.
613-969-1545, 1-866-969-1546 is the number to call to speak with Erica Charlton. She's the Bay of Quinte Green candidate. And obviously, one of the big questions is housing and dealing with homelessness and things like that. And although that is maybe a provincial matter, or I mean, it's not. It's a everybody matter. And we'll see what the Greens want to do about that. Plus, don't forget, Erica will have 90 seconds at the end of the show to tell us why she should be the MP for this riding. We'll take a break. It's 20 minutes before 10 o'clock. It's the Lauren Brooker Show on CJBQ, CJBQ.com, and you can catch us on your TV.